Hey guys, welcome back to the Don't Sell Squad podcast, episode 33, Creating Environments for Success. This episode covers how your environment has a massive impact on what you do and strategies to set up your environment for success. Motivation, commitment and discipline, they're all integral factors of success, but your environment is the hidden hand that guides behavior more than you realize. So in this episode, I'll explain how much of an impact the environment has on what you do, and I'll show you how to actually set up your own environment in a way that is conducive to success. We'll start this podcast with an analogy. So I'll just go through an analogy that will show you the importance of what I'm going to go through here today, which is the environment. So we've all heard the phrase, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And we're going to have a different view on that one today. While that is slightly true, we're going to go with Hormozy's view on it here. So if you don't follow Alex Hormozy, love listening to his podcast. And he was actually on about this, was it a week ago, two, 3 weeks ago, whatever. And it really actually hit me as I was walking, listening to it. So that's why I'm sharing it with you. And obviously I have kind of my own spin and different things in this episode. But he went through this analogy. So you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And his argument was, well, you pretty much can, because what if you dehydrate the horse? Then you salt its mouth and you bring it out when it's blistering heat. What's it going to do? It's going to drink the water. Like, so what he's saying there is the environment was the key. If you set up the environment in a way that makes the action you want to happen the easiest action and the one that they want to do, then it's going to happen. And that's what he's doing with the horse. If, as he said, you dehydrate the horse, bring it out in blistering heat, salt its mouth, it's going to want to drink the water, and it's going to drink the water. So that's what we want to do. We want to do the same thing in our lives, instead of like dragging ourselves to do things, trying to force ourselves and use, you know, as I said, motivation, discipline, commitment, which are important. I've done a different podcast on them. But to set ourselves up in the best way possible for success, we need to work on the environment. And that's what we're going to get into here. So for the 3 points on creating environments for success, we're going to make it easy. We're going to work with the habit loop. And we're going to make the worst behavior the hardest behavior. Okay, so they're the 3 points that we're going to go through. For making it easy, here is what we want to do is remove all other options. Okay, that's how we make something easy. Just think of choices. Like, I think I might have said last week, was it about like a restaurant? If you're in a restaurant and there's 10 choices, or if you're in a restaurant and there's one choice, which is easier? You know, think of a wedding, actually. I was at a wedding recently, and there was actually no choices, and it was much better, because that's just what you got. There was no messing or anything about it. It was just like, look, that's what's for dinner. Cool. So that's what you need to do. If you want to make something easy in your life, you need to create an environment where there is no other options. So, like, I'll give you my own example, which is a morning mobility routine. So we'll look at this from the view of physical freedom, like setting up an environment where you prioritize your physical freedom. Because that's how you get long-term progress with anything in life. It's when it becomes part of who you are. It's not something I, quote, do sometimes when I feel like it. Because we won't feel like doing it most of the time. It's not the most exciting stuff. So for my morning mobility routine, brushing my joints just like my teeth, I get up in the morning, you know, go to the bathroom, whatever, have a shower, I'll have a pint of water upstairs, and I'll drink that to start rehydrating quickly. And then when I come downstairs, I put on the kettle, come into the room I'm in now, in the sitting room, and there's like, what, 2 or 3 minutes for the kettle to boil. So I have nothing else to do. Like, I'm standing in this sitting room, I might actually go out into the balcony, and if I want a bit of fresh air in my face to kind of wake me up even more. But I have like 2 or 3 minutes where there's nothing to do, because, sorry, I should have said, I leave my phone upstairs charging. So I leave my phone upstairs out of the way, because if I bring it down here, what am I going to do in those 2 or 3 minutes? I'm going to open my phone and scroll my phone. And there's nothing else in this room either. Like, there's a TV there, but I don't even really watch TV. My laptop would be put away at the moment, so it's not even on the table. So, like, there's nothing to do. And there's a mirror there as well. So I'll just be in the room. I'll see myself in the mirror. I hear the kettle boiling, and I'm like, well, okay, I'll start moving my neck. I'll start doing the neck movements, then to the shoulder, the hip, and I'll just do my morning mobility routine, because it's the easiest thing to do in that moment. There's nothing else to do. I'd have to actually think of something else to do. So, and that's the way I set it up. That's what I'm doing 6 years later. Like, I'm still doing my morning routine 6 years later, moving my joints in the morning and brushing them just like I brush my teeth, hence keeping my physical freedom for things that I love to do. Okay, so that's what you need to do. You need to make it easy. Like, I know for a fact, because it's happened. Like, if I bring my phone downstairs in the moment where you know, you're deciding, what am I going to do? Your brain will go to the easiest option, the dopamine hit of the phone and stuff. Like, you just need to remove them. Just get them out of there. It's going to be the easiest way to keep this long term. The other point I had for making it easy was you need to create as little friction as possible. Yeah, so this is another good point. If you want to create an environment for success, you need to create the least amount of friction possible. For example, a gym would be a good example here. Let's say if you want to work out, I'll just give you two examples. You'll understand then. If your gym is 40 minutes away, it takes 10 minutes to queue for the car park, or your gym is in your apartment building. Which are you going more likely to be consistent with? It's the one that's in the apartment building, because there's the least amount of friction possible. When you think of going to the gym, your mind will just go, oh, I just have to walk upstairs. Compared to the other one, your mind has to go, oh, I have to drive 40 minutes, I have to queue, I have to do this, oh, I probably won't even be training for an hour. Like, it's just friction, and you want to try and remove as much of that as you can. It's not always going to be possible, but when you have the option, that's what you want to do. You want to put as little friction as possible between you and the thing that you want to do. Number two, work with the habit loop. If you don't know the science on habits, you get a little crash course on it here. So there's four stages of habits. This is in Atomic Habits, the book, if you've read that, great book. And Big Preacher of Small Gains, it's actually basically what the book is about, but I didn't know that until I read the book. So the four stages then, we've cue, craving, response, and reward. Okay, so cue, craving, response, and reward. The easy example that stuck with me was, like, think of an alcoholic here. What's the cue? They see an ad on TV for Heineken, or they walk past the pub, or their friend texts them saying, do you want to go for a beer? Cool. What happens then? You're on to stage two, you get the craving now. Here, you want the beer, or whatever it is that you're drinking. Now, number three is the response. What are you going to do? You're going to go get a beer. If it's in the pub, you're going to go get a pint. If it's at home, you get a bottle from the fridge, whatever. And then step four is you get the reward. When you're drinking, getting tipsy, drunk, whatever, now that's the reward. So it gets more ingrained. And then what happens next time? Same thing happens again. The cue, craving, response, reward. But as that loop keeps going, it gets more and more ingrained in your brain. Fortunately and unfortunately, I was going to say unfortunately, but it depends on what you're training your brain to become accustomed to. If it's alcohol, drugs, all these other things, not good. But what you can actually do, and I understand this because that's what I've done. Look, I went mad drinking in college and all these other things, so I understand it from that point of view. But I've changed my brain that the habit loop works for me in terms of small gains, in terms of progress and things that benefit my life. And I fully understand it because, like, things like the gym, things like learning, things like business progress, personal development, anything at all, like, I'll get that same cue, craving, response, reward for it. And that's where I get my dopamine hits now, getting small gains in the gym, getting small gains with the business, whatever, helping clients, different things. That's what gives me the same dopamine hit that I would have got from things like drink. So it's very important to understand how the brain works, which I've said many, many times, but here's just a little thing on habit loops. This is how your brain works. You can't, like, this is the blueprint for how the brain works in terms of habits. Like, there's no other option but to work with it. So we're doing it here, you know, for physical freedom, we can do that as well. Like, cue, craving, response, reward. It's, you know, obviously, let's say with the cue, it's not like you're going to, like my morning example there where I come down and the environment's set up, I'm not craving to do my mobility, let's say, like it would maybe a night out. It's a different craving. Like, the way I described it was, yeah, it's what clients have actually told me as well, where they've said, if they, like, let's say now you're consistent with the mobility routine and stuff, you're, you know, brushing the joints every morning, it's gone on for 6-7 weeks, and then for some reason you miss it for a few days. You notice, like, as I was saying, and as clients have told me, it's kind of like, you know, when you're away on holidays or something and you forget your toothbrush when you were younger or whatever, you're at a friend's house for the weekend and you forget your toothbrush, and then, like, your mouth is just like, what? Jesus, just feels so weird. That's how your body feels. And it's mad because your brain, your body knows how good you can feel when you're brushing the joints every morning. Now that you're not doing it, you're just like, oh, this doesn't feel good. So, like, that's kicking in with the habit loop. Then you actually get the kind of cue and the craving to do the mobility. And then you get the response is you doing the movements. And then the reward is you actually feeling good in your body and seeing how that's improving the quality of your life day to day with less chronic pain and improving the sports and activities that you love to do. So it really kicks in there. And now once that's ingrained, you're much more likely to actually do the movements because you've seen the reward at the end. And that's the tough part, because when you start off, you don't see the reward because you're in chronic pain and injury, and like 10 sessions, it doesn't go away. So that's why obviously you need a coach. That's why I got a coach. Like, you need someone to teach you these things, to get you to trust the process, to understand these things take time. But when you start to feel it for yourself, that starts kicking in the habit loop. So number three then, make the worst behavior the hardest behavior. Yeah, so it's kind of focusing in on something that I definitely said already, because I said I leave my phone upstairs. But that was one example I had here. It's whatever behavior is kind of destructive for you, you want to make that the hardest thing to do in the moment. So I said the phone one. Look, we all understand that one. If I'm going through the day and I want to do my movements or I want to do work, the biggest destructive behavior is the phone. Like, I'll still do it from time to time, where, because obviously I need my phone to do some of my work tasks, like things on Instagram. Like, I make them on my phone, so I need my phone here. I even noticed that this week, where like I'm doing work, could be on Thursday, you know, you've getting near the end of the work week, you're getting a bit tired and stuff. And then when you get tired, that's when these things become harder, and I'll be getting ready to do some work task that I need to do, and it's going to take mental energy, and I'm not like pumped to do it because I'm kind of tired and stuff. And then I'll just pick up the phone because that's the easy thing to do, you know. So that's why, and like, usually if I'm not doing a work task on the phone, I'll put it in a drawer over there. Well, you can't see it, but I'll put it away in a drawer, or else I'll actually go upstairs and leave it upstairs again. So that's, it's out of the room completely. And then you still get that. You still get the, like, oh, I'll pick up the phone, and then the phone isn't there. And you're like, oh, well, and then that gets you over the impulse to pick it up, and then you can go back to doing what you're doing. So make the worst behavior the hardest behavior. You can think of that for yourself. But the few ones I down here was the scroll on the phone, leave it in a different room. And even, you know, the whole, oh, well, what if someone rings me, texts me, da-da-da. Nothing's going to happen in the next hour or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, checking notifications, all this. You should have all your notifications off. They're like alarm bells set for you by other people, distracting you. So, you know, put it away for an hour. You're not going to miss it. Nothing's going to happen. And you'll be happy you did, because you can actually focus now. So that's the phone one. The other one, let's say talking to people. I suppose that's just kind of more if you work for yourself, it could be in work as well. Like, let's say you're at your desk and, you know, you have a chatty colleague or whatever and you can't really focus. Like, leave and go to, book a meeting room for yourself. You know, you need to get away from the things, the hardest destructive behaviors, because it's easy to just chat to people. Kind of same for me here. Like, if my roommates are here in the apartment, it would be hard for me to work, you know, if they're like, they might just ask me something randomly and then it's kind of breaking me out of focus. So, like, I'll go to coffee shops anyway, actually, because it's the best environment to do work. I'm not just gonna drive somewhere, pay for a coffee and sit there scrolling my phone like I'm going to work. It's the perfect environment for it. And then another one, what did I have down here? Fall asleep. What was that about there? Do work. Oh, yeah. So, no, that one actually doesn't really make sense. Shouldn't put that one in there. and then the last one, yeah, was like accountability partner. So the worst, yeah, that's another one as well, obviously. Like, it can be a coach or it could just be a friend. To help make the worst behavior the hardest behavior is when you have someone accountable to you. So if you tell a friend, like, there's this thing I don't want to do, you don't want to do it, because then you have to tell the friend that you did it. Or like with a coach as well, when you know you're checking in with the coach like every Monday, yeah, you just don't want to do the destructive behaviors because you know you have to check in with someone. So there's 3 points on creating environments for success. You need to make it easy, you need to work with a habit loop, and you need to make the worst behavior the hardest behavior. If you do those things, I promise you, it's going to help so much. So on the conclusion then, pretty much what I said at the start, like the motivation, discipline, commitment, they are so important. Again, you can go find the podcast on that. But yeah, the environment, it's the hidden hand that guides behavior that you don't even realize. So you need to set up the environment in a way that's conducive to the behaviors and actions that you want to do. And now you become successful by default. That's what you want. Like, just a default day, the environment is set up so well that you're doing the things that you want to do and you know that you should be doing, and you're getting progress out the other end. And like I said, with the physical freedom, once you set it up like that, it just becomes part of your life. And that's a great thing as well. Like, when I, you know, my chat to clients years later down the line, like maybe on Instagram or could bump into them or whatever, and we'd just be catching up and stuff, and they'd be like, look, do you know what? One of the best things you ever taught me was, you know, the morning routine, brushing the joints, you know, I'm still doing that every morning and stuff, whatever. And I'm like, oh man, savage, you know that. And it just ingrains for me the importance of what we're talking about here as well, of the environment, like creating an environment where it's easy to prioritize your physical freedom and look after your body. Because you're not going to, like, the harder exercise, the fancy stuff, you're not going to do them the rest of your life or anything. Like, you know, who wants to? You just want to get your physical freedom back and keep it. But you can do it in a simple way, you know, a couple of minutes a day, in the way I described at the start of the video. So the three ways I can help you then with the physical freedom program, just like we were chatting about there. It's about overcoming chronic pain and injury, reaching your athletic potential. Mental freedom course then. This is where we learn to stop looping and suffering and how to skillfully navigate your own mind. Lifestyle Design University. That's where we avoid the biggest regret of humanity. Learn how to design the life true to yourself. For follow or contact then, we've got the website. Voice seems to go on a bit. Good timing. So follow, contact me on the website. Documentary's up there if you haven't seen it. And then email or Instagram DM. That's the best way to get me. So email guidedinsettle@gmail.com or, as I said, Instagram DM. Guidedinsettle is the tag. So that's it. So don't settle. Live true to yourself. We'll talk to you next time.